right. Thank you, Danny. Well, it's Man Month. I just got a grunt as soon as you say that. Did you all enjoy the sausage and man cakes this morning? Wasn't that awesome? Thank you, Dan Rahoy, for making that for us. Throughout this month, we're going to have special man meals in between Sunday school and the worship service. So make sure you get here early. Go to Sunday school. Enjoy everything that we have for Man Month. And men, have you noticed when March rolled around that maybe your facial hair is coming in a little thicker and fuller this month? That might happen. It might happen this month. And some of you have never shaved before. Some of you young men, this might be the month. You might have to shave. This month, it'll happen, Man Month. Well, this year, our theme for Man Month is lifting. And so real men lift. You got to grunt when you say it. Real men lift. They grunt. All right. And you know, every little boy, I think when they're young, they look forward to growing up and being a big, strong man someday. And when I was a little kid, there were guys, movie stars that I guess I looked up to, I think everyone else looked up to. You know, guys like Arnold Schwarzenegger and Sylvester Stallone, they had all those muscles. And as a little kid, I wanted to grow up and be like that. And whether you're a little boy or you're not a little boy anymore, you can still start lifting and become really big and strong. And even as I say that, I know you guys are like, yeah, I should do that. I should really do that. And you're forming in your mind pictures of what you can look like if you had bulging muscles. And I have some pictures of what you might look like, all right? Look at that guy. Isn't that impressive? He looks strong, doesn't he? He's doing a squat snatch or overhead squat. We don't know. It's just a picture. We don't know what he did before. But look at it. Doesn't he look like a strong guy? That's what you want to look like. You don't want to look like this. That's not what we're talking about for Man Month. Real men do not lift fluorescent orange weights, all right? That's not a manly thing. Not like this. Again, what you want to look like is this. Now, that's a manly man, isn't it? Look at that thick, full beard. He's wearing black. He's deadlifting some heavy weights. This is what you want to look like. You don't want to look like this, because there's nothing there. How about, oh, I had a really cool picture, but I guess, yeah, you won't see it. Okay, you want to look like, look at this guy. That's over 300 pounds, and he's lifting over his head. You see those bulging muscles? This is what you want. Good form when you're lifting. You don't want to do this. Yeah, that's not what we're talking about with Man Month. That's not what you want to do. But we are men, and we want to lift. You know, just seeing that heavy barbell on the floor, doesn't it make you just want to run up and pick it up and lift it? Guys, come on. Don't you? Yeah, of course you do. In fact, a real man who lifts weights can immediately look at that weight and know exactly how much is on the bar. How many of you guys know how much that weighs? Zachary Short, how much does that weigh? 225. Do you guys believe him? Yeah, it's absolutely true. 245s on each side. The bar is 45 pounds. That's 225 pounds. I think Matt Jonovich said that too. That's why he's preaching on at the end. You know, in all seriousness, unless a weight falls down on your head, lifting really is good for you. In fact, I Googled benefits of lifting weights, and I came across several different articles. And let me quickly give you one. Here are benefits of lifting weights. It lowers your risk of heart attack and stroke. There was a study done just this last year in 2018 in Iowa State University. And they did this study about weightlifting. And in Iowa, they only have two things to do, pick corn and lift weights. And so it makes sense that they would do this in Iowa. But it says lifting weights for less than at least 1 hour a week, only 1 hour a week, will reduce a person's heart risk of heart attack or stroke by up to 70%. So that's huge. So lifting weights is beneficial. It promotes weight loss. It builds muscle. It counteracts bone loss. It improves insulin sensitivity, reduces inflammation, improves balance, reduces anxiety and depression, improves focus, and it can also improve your chances of survival. That's what this article said. It can improve your chances of survival. So if you lift weights and your friend doesn't, and you're out and a pack of coyotes are chasing you, you who lift weights, you're going to survive, okay? So I'm sure you've figured out by now that this series is not really about lifting weights, but you should, all right? You should do that. On the bulletin, hopefully you noticed the verse that we have on the bulletin. It's Proverbs 20:29. It says, the glory of young men is their strength, but the splendor of old men is their gray hair. And to that I say, thank goodness. As your strength goes down, the gray hair goes up. And usually when a man has gray hair, it means that he has age and also experience. And hopefully he has wisdom, lots of wisdom. And a wise man will realize and know what the right kind of lifting is. And that is to lift up other people. And so that's what this series is ultimately about, being a wise person and lifting up others. There are many verses in the Bible that talk about our need to lift up each other. One is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. It says, do not let any unwholesome talk... Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And of course, I want you all to know, obviously, I'm going to be saying guys and men a lot. And this applies to everyone, men, women, children, whoever you are. But this is something that all of us are supposed to do to make the words that come out of our mouths really build each other up. A couple other verses talk about the importance of this. Romans has a couple of them. Romans 14, 19, it says, so then let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. So a real man is going to make this one of his life's pursuits. That he will say, how can I, with the people that are in my life, build them up with my words and with my actions? Another one in Romans chapter 15, verses 1 and 2, it says, we who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. And so that's the kind of lifting that real men do. And so LIFT, as we go through this month, LIFT is an acronym. And hopefully this acronym is going to help us to remember the kind of lifting that God wants us to do. And it begins with the letter L. So today we're going to talk about the letter L. And L stands for loyal. A real man is loyal. A real man is loyal, and he is committed to building up the people God has placed in his life. You know, this morning what I want to do is I want to spend time identifying who God has placed in our lives that we need to be loyal to. The majority of this is going to be based on who that is. And you'll see in the sermon notes, I already have that laid out. It's not a big secret. You shouldn't be surprised. Oh, I'm supposed to be devoted to these people. But I also want to talk just briefly about why this is beneficial and practical for us to have loyalty built into our lives. Because from a practical standpoint, when you and I develop loyalty to different people and things, it's going to save us an incredible amount of time. Like, how many decisions do we make every day, every week, every month, every year? It's almost impossible to probably count how many. Like today, the decisions that you're going to make, what to wear, what to eat, where to go out to eat, all those kinds of decisions that you have to make. Some of those are inconsequential. They don't really matter. But there are some decisions that are really big. They're very important that we need to spend time thinking about. Like what career you're going to go into, who you're going to marry, where you're going to live, things like that. And once you make decisions like that, you need to stick to it. And you need to be loyal to those important decisions. And so the benefit of loyalty is it really helps us to stay focused on what's important so that we don't waste our time making all these random decisions. A person who is not loyal to anyone or anything is going to waste so much of their life. Like, for instance, how many of you have an auto mechanic that you found does a great job and you are loyal to that auto mechanic? I have found that for myself. When we first lived here, I remember I was talking to J.C. Bourne. I said, J.C., where do you take your car? He goes, M&M Automotive, down on Cheryl Drive, right off. Do you still take your cars there? Yeah, I go there. It's kind of an inconvenience. It's kind of far away. But this guy, John, he is trustworthy. He'll tell me the truth. You need that in a mechanic, right? He does a great job. It's very affordable. Could you imagine what it would be like every time your automobile broke down if you can't fix it yourself, like me? Trying to find every single time a new mechanic to work on your car, how would that just be exhausting trying to figure out, is this going to be a better mechanic than the last one? Or how about, how many of you go to like a specific grocery store? You always go to the same one, you know where everything is. Could you imagine every time after you go to a grocery store, you thought, I don't like how this is laid out. I want to find a better grocery store that has shorter lines, and you waste your entire life spending time trying to find the perfect grocery store. You know, I don't know if I've ever mentioned this before, but I do CrossFit. Yeah, I probably mentioned that, yeah. I started doing CrossFit. This kind of goes into the financial class that Steve McDonald was teaching, because I'm cheap, and there was a Groupon, this two-month special. And so I tried it, and I loved it. I thought, this is it. I want to do CrossFit. And I did it for 2 months, and I didn't do it for a little bit. But when I said, I want to go back, I want this to be my thing. I don't want to do these, you know, runs anymore. I didn't want to do triathlons. I want to do this. And so I had to decide, where am I going to join to do CrossFit? What box am I going to join? They don't call them gyms. They call them boxes, just because it's cooler, I guess. And so the coach that I had at my first gym, his name is Cal Van Conant. I mean, he was good. He was really good. I liked him. He's a huge Michigan Wolverine fan, which, you know, that's a bonus, I guess. Well, he had opened up his own gym right after I had done that. And so I thought, well, I could waste the next year of my life trying to find the perfect box, or there's someone that I know, I trust, I like. I can just go there and be loyal to them. And so that's what I did. So in our lives, we need to find people and things that we can be loyal to, because it's going to save us an incredible amount of time. And from a spiritual standpoint, this is part of being mature. In fact, the Bible talks about in Ephesians, I love this passage, that God's desire for us is to be mature. And so a mature person will not waste their life trying to listen to all the new latest ideas and this leader and that leader. They will find the truth, and they will be committed and loyal to that truth. In this passage here in Ephesians chapter 4, this is what it talks about, 4 verses 13 through 14. It says, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Listen, if we are not loyal to anyone or anything, then we go through life like little children who are being tossed to and fro by our emotions and our indecisiveness. And so it's important as men to be loyal and to find people and things to be loyal to. And so from a practical standpoint, loyalty can be a huge blessing. And now let's talk about who we're supposed to be loyal to. You know, I had Danny O'Donohue read from Matthew chapter 25. And this is by far one of my favorite parables in Scripture, because it's such a great way to think about what our life is like. And here from verse 14 in Matthew chapter 25, it says, for it will be like, and for it, meaning our life, this time before eternity, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. And this is a fantastic parable. It's really kind of a summary of our lives. This life is ultimately a test. And someday, every single one of us will stand before Jesus Christ, and we will have to give an account for how we managed his property, the things that he has entrusted to us. And people are part of that. Not that people are our property, but we're all ultimately God's possession. And so God has placed within each of our lives relationships that we will be held accountable for. And we will be judged and rewarded based on how we handle those relationships. And so God, what he wants us to do is to recognize and take seriously the most important relationships that we have. And so I have three of those listed on the bulletin for you today. And that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about our family, like our immediate family, those closest to us, our spiritual family, and then obviously, ultimately, our relationship with Jesus Christ. And so when we talk about these first two, the family and a spiritual family, what I hope would happen today as we're going through this, that very specific names and faces of the people in your life will come to your mind, and you will say, I need to be loyal to these people. I need to develop my loyalty to them. I need to make it a priority. And I need to demonstrate and show them that I am loyal to them. And so I want to go through this. And I'm going to issue kind of a disclaimer right now, because I know as soon as I go through family and spiritual family, church family, some of you are going to say, yeah, I know I'm supposed to be loyal to these people, but what about, and then you're going to have a certain situation come in, okay? And so here's the disclaimer. I acknowledge and readily admit that there are times in our lives that because of usually sinful situations, unrepentant, ongoing sin, we have to start. We have to disassociate with people in our lives, sometimes family members, spiritual family. So I recognize that that exists. But what I don't want to do is stand before you and say we should be loyal to family and spiritual family and then list all the reasons and situations why we shouldn't be. So I'm just throwing out that disclaimer. I acknowledge it's there. And I'm going to spend my time focusing on the 98, 99% of the time when we should be loyal to these people. And so let's begin by looking at our family. Real men are loyal to their family. And so guys, men, in your life right now, who is your family? And it's neat. As I look out here, I see a wide diversity of ages. And as men grow up and go through life, they're based on the stage of life that they're in, their family unit changes. And the priority of each person in our family is going to change based on the stage of life that we're in. I remember 17 years ago, when Kristen and I were married and we found out that we were going to have our first child, Caleb. Well, we didn't know it was a boy or girl. But anyway, I experienced something that every parent experiences. And I experienced this with Caleb and Kyle and Jackie. But isn't it great, parents, for those of you who are parents, you go through life and you develop relationships with people. And if I don't think we ever do this, or we shouldn't, but you ever write down like the top 10 most important people in your life or the top 20? And it kind of, there's like a ranking of people that are really important. Isn't it amazing how when a baby comes into your life, they leapfrog everybody and they go right to the top? You know, someone that you don't know who they are, you have no background, but because they are your child, they go straight to the top. And that's exactly how it should be. And we should be loyal to our family. The Bible is very clear about the importance of being loyal to family. How many of you know the fifth of the Ten Commandments? I'm kind of giving it away. It's pretty obvious. If you don't know, it's Deuteronomy 5:16. Honor your father and mother, as the Lord your God commanded you, that your days may be long and that it may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. And everyone here, obviously, you're in a different situation. But if this applies to you, how are you, men, honoring your parents? Again, everyone has a different situation. Maybe your parents have gone on. They've passed away. But are you honoring your father and mother? How we do that is obviously going to change during the stages of our life. When you're young, you honor your parents by obeying them. You do what they say. You do your chores. You're respectful. You're kind. You listen to your parents. And as your parents get older, you honor them by taking care of them, by providing for them. Whether it's providing for them physically or financially or whatever that is. I remember when we moved here, Dan and Lee, you took care of Dan's mom in her last couple years. And I just remember you talking about that was such an important thing and an honor and a blessing for you to do that. It made a huge impression on me. My parents are not at that stage yet, but I know that I should have those conversations with them. And so I've been starting to have those conversations with my mom and my dad. And in the last year, I had the conversation. I said, okay, what's the plan? All right, what's the plan for the next 10, 15 years? Who is going to take care of you? And I remember I talked to my dad about this, I think about maybe 2 years ago. I said, Dad, what's the plan? He goes, oh, I have long-term care insurance. Don't worry about it. I don't want to be a burden to anyone. All right? I respect that. Guys are like that. We don't want to be a burden to anyone. But I said, Dad, don't you realize that one of us would take care of you? No, you wouldn't be out on the street. We would take care of you. Because that's a way that we can honor our parents. And so whatever stage of life you're in, this is a priority with your parents, with your children. 1 Timothy says something pretty shocking. 1 Timothy 5, 7, and 8. Let me get there. Here we go. 1 Timothy 5, 7, and 8. It says, command these things as well, so that they may be without reproach. But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. I mean, that's pretty serious. And so if you have family members, immediate family members, that are in need, and you are not, we are not taking care of them, That's a pretty drastic statement that the Holy Spirit had the Apostle Paul write. And so this shows us the importance of that. The word for provide here in 1 Timothy is proneo. Proneo is, it's this idea of to take thought of or care for a thing. And so a good man is going to spend time thinking about how he can benefit the people in his immediate family. You know, I wonder, I think about this from time to time, I'm sure many of you have as well. How many of the world's problems would be different or not nearly as bad if all the men in the world who had children were committed and loyal to them and stuck around and helped raise their children to be obedient, discipline them when they need to be disciplined, and set them an example? Wouldn't this world be a different place if men stood up and were the kind of men that they should be? And so a real man is loyal, and he's loyal to his family. And so, guys, who in your family needs you to spend time thinking about them, the, how you can provide for them? Do your children know that they are a priority to you? Does your spouse know that they are a priority to you? Do your parents know, if that still is a situation for you? How can you show loyalty to the family that God has given to you? That's what a real man will do. He will lift up and be loyal to his family. Well, next, a real man is going to be loyal and committed to his spiritual family as well. Obviously, earthly families are a priority, and they're at the top of the priority list. They are a responsibility that God has given to each of us. But if you're a child of God, then you're not only part of an earthly family, you have a spiritual family. You are in God's family. Ephesians chapter 2 says something wonderful here. Ephesians 2, verses 18 and 19 says, "For through him," through Jesus, "we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." If you've placed your faith in Christ, you are part of God's spiritual family. And within this family, God wants us to come together regularly and study his word and to build each other up. And so that's why the local church is so important. Church is the place where we go and we see our family members, our spiritual family members. And that's why there are many passages in the scripture that talk about the importance of getting together on a regular basis. One of those places is Hebrews chapter 10. I'm sure many of you are familiar with this passage, a great passage. It says, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." We need to be committed to our spiritual family. And that means not giving up meeting together so that we're coming together on a regular, consistent basis. A couple other passages that talk about this. Romans 12:10 says, "Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor." That's from the ESV. I like how the NIV translates this. It says, "Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves." You know, the thing is, with our immediate family, we have very specific names and faces that go along with who we're loyal to. But when it comes to our spiritual family, I mean, how many people are believers in Jesus Christ on the world, on the earth? A billion? You know, maybe more? I have no idea. Is it possible for us to be devoted and loyal to all of those people? Of course not. Absolutely not. And so that's why it can be overwhelming. And that's why when it comes to our spiritual family, we need to be intentional about picking a handful of people that we're going to walk through life with. And again, that's one of the benefits of church. But even here in this church, if everyone who calls Grace Bible Church of Phoenix showed up on a Sunday, we'd have over 200 people. Is it possible for any one individual here, for you, to be devoted and show devotion to 200 people? Well, of course not. And so that's why you have to intentionally build relationships with people in your spiritual family. That's one of the benefits of having small groups. I mean, if you're not in a small group, when we start them up in the fall, I encourage you to get involved in those. So who within, guys, who within your spiritual family are the brothers that you are loyal to? And do they know it? I would encourage you, even this week, make sure that the guys that you want to go through life with know that you're devoted to them. You know, one of the benefits of living in this day and age is we have phones that are also cameras and that are also computers, but we can stay in contact with anyone that we want. And texting is a wonderful thing. I remember when texting first came out, I thought it was rude. It was very, there's a horrible way to communicate. You know, call someone instead. But now I realize, actually, this is really good. Guys, this is something you can do to show loyalty to a brother in Christ. Just give them a text from time to time. Say, hey, how you doing? But when you text someone and you're devoted to them, don't be creepy and weird, all right? Like, don't text them and say, hey, I want you to know I'm devoted to you. Okay, that would be weird, all right? That'd be creepy, you know? Like, okay, delete that. But call them and say, hey, how are you doing? Hey, how did that one thing go? Is there anything I can be praying for you about? Stay in contact with the guys in your life. That is something that we really need to do. Finally, as we go from our family to our spiritual family, knowing that we need to be devoted to those things, obviously the most important thing that we need to be devoted to, the most important person, is Jesus Christ. I got a quiz for you. And for those of you who took Steve McDonald's Sunday School class this morning, you probably already know the answer. But guys, what is one of the biggest distractions that prevents you from being loyal to Christ? Now, we could say there's quite a few different things, but it's interesting how the Bible repeatedly, over and over again, tells us that money, or the pursuit of money, is one of the biggest distractions that helps or really prevents us from developing a loyalty to Jesus Christ. A couple passages that teach us this. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. It says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. And this is so true, because both require time. You only have so much time in your life, and you can devote your time and your energy to pursuing wealth or making sure that your relationship with Christ is where it should be. Another passage, and I didn't even think about this, but for those of you who are in Steve McDonald's Sunday School class on personal finances, you read this, and so I didn't even think that might even be read this morning, but you're going to get this again. 1 Timothy 6, beginning in verse 6, it says, but godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. But those who, and this is the key here, who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. I love that word there in verse 10 that says they have wandered from the faith. And that's what happens as men go through life and they realize that they're good at certain things. And hey, if I really devote a lot of my time and attention to this, I can make a lot of money. And they just kind of wander off. They were on the path, they were running a good race and say, hey, I'm experiencing success over here. And they just sort of wander from the faith because of their love and pursuit of money. Money is not evil, of course. I think we all realize that. It's definitely a tool that God has given to us that we can provide for family and ministry and our friends. But if you get your loyalty messed up and you devote your life to making more, at the judgment seat of Christ, your bank account is not going to say to you, well done, good and faithful servant. You will stand before Jesus Christ himself, and based on what you did with the things that he has entrusted with you and your relationship with him, he will judge you based on that. Obviously, there needs to be a balance because we have to go through life. We have to earn money so that we can live. But Christ must be the priority. And again, if this is a problem for you, guys, if you have trouble financing and you're not quite sure how to have balance, then go to Steve McDonald's Sunday School class on personal finances and he will solve all your problems. If you don't have enough money after going to this class, you will have more than enough money, right? Well, maybe not. And if you're great with money and that's not an issue, make sure you go to Dave Kincaid's Sunday School class on grace. So go to Sunday school, all right? Build relationships. Anyway, okay, that's kind of a plug for Sunday school. You know, as I was preparing for this sermon and talking about family and spiritual family in Jesus Christ, a lot of different people's faces came to my mind because at different stages of my life, I was closer to different people. You know, that's just how life goes, even family and friends. And I'm very, very fortunate. I'm very blessed at this point in my life. I have had some wonderful people in my life who were loyal to me and that I've been able to be loyal to them as well. But without question, the person above every other who is the most loyal to me, and the person who is always going to be the most loyal to you, is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Nothing comes close. When you and I are at our worst, he will be faithful to you. When you are at your best, he will be faithful to you. When you are confident and strong, he will be faithful to you. And when you doubt, he will be faithful to you, because that's who he is. I want to close with one last verse, and this is 1 Thessalonians 5:23. This wonderful verse talks about God's faithfulness to us. It says, "May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it." He will do it. If you've placed your faith in Jesus Christ, you will stand before the Father someday, spotless and clean, because of Christ's faithfulness to you. And so it's my hope that we can take the example of Christ and apply that to our relationships. And so for this month, men, and everyone here, of course, spend time focusing on your relationships. But real men are loyal to the relationships that God has entrusted to us. So men, let's get to lifting. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for today. I thank you for this spiritual family that you've given to us here at Grace Bible Church of Phoenix, that we can come here, we can be encouraged, we can read your word and know what your will is for our life, and we can learn that Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, he didn't just provide for our sins and just go off. He is faithful to us in every day of our lives. And so, Father, as we spend time, especially as the men here, spend time focusing on being the man that God wants us to be, that you want us to be, help us to identify these relationships and to truly, physically, spiritually, financially, in every way, be very loyal and committed to our family, our spiritual family, and also, and first and foremost, to Jesus Christ. That is our goal. And Father, Lord, help us as men and as a church to be people who lift others up. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.